This is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Sarah Beth Tomberlin is a singer-songwriter who spent much of her childhood in rural Illinois. She was going to school full-time and working in a Verizon store when the music she was making and posting online started resonating with people, and it soon caught the attention of a record label. Fast forward through appearances on Jimmy Kimmel, at NPR's Tiny Desk, and on All Songs Considered. Her new album, I Don't Know Who Needs to Hear This, came out last month from Saddle Creek Records. This is track one, called Easy.
Not one word to keep saying. Don't want to hold the key. The stories that I told you, sweet words you spoke to me.
We caught up with Sarah Beth, whose artist name is her last name, Tomberlin, last week while she was headed back to Illinois on tour. Sarah Beth Tomberlin, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So I understand you were born in Florida, but raised in rural Illinois. When did you first start singing and playing guitar?
I mean, singing I kind of did growing up my entire life. My mom sings and my sisters sing. I'm the middle. I have an older and a younger sister, so just grew up singing at church and around the house a ton. I got like a beginner guitar when I was probably like 4 or 5, but didn't really know what I was doing whatsoever. I think I kind of really started when I was like 16 or 17, like trying to play, teach myself.
When did you know this was something, I want to do this? I'm not going to be an accountant or an astronaut or whatever else.
I think I always wanted to sing and write. Like, those were always interests of mine, but I never really thought it was a reality. I did have many other jobs. So I worked at a Verizon for like 3 years. While I was writing my first record, I was working at a Verizon store and going to school full time. So I never really thought like, I'm going to be a musician. It just kind of like happened that people resonated with the music and it found the right people.
I don't know who needs to hear this. Sometimes it's good to sing your feelings. And every time I open my
I never really thought it was a reality for me. It just kind of like came to be.
I mean, you go on Jimmy Kimmel, talk about like, was there a moment where it came clear or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I started touring in 2018. My first record came out in 2018. And I was on Kimmel in March of 2019. So yeah, I was still working at, I was just switching jobs of whatever job would let me tour. And at the time I was working at an Urban Outfitters. And I got a text message from my publicist being like, you just got Jimmy Kimmel, like you're going to play this in a couple months. And I was like, oh. I didn't even have a manager at the time. It was just kind of like a lot of luck with like the music finding the right people, or, you know, like it resonated with people. Like it shocks me every day. But at the same time, my life hasn't really changed that much. It's just like, this is my job now. And I'm coming up on like 5 years of, I guess, like really actively doing this. So yeah, I don't know. It's like, I'm proud of my work ethic in my life. And so I think I've just like, you know, have translated that to what I do now. But it is still like really shocking to me because I didn't, you know, grow up in a music scene or have access to a lot of stuff that I feel like a lot of other younger musicians have had access to, either like a music community or scene, or even ability to have like lessons for their various instruments. I was like very much just kind of working it out on my own. So it's shocking to me every day that it's this far. Yeah.
It's still a job though, right? I mean, that's a great lesson, because no matter what you think about from somebody who's working at a Verizon store or a celebrity or a musician, whatever, it's still a job. Yeah.
Totally.
So you're Your new album is called, I'm going to say, I don't know who needs to hear this, IDKWNTHT, right? This is the internet acronym. People, for some of our listeners who might not be familiar, this is when you share something with the world or their followers. I don't know who needs to hear this. What does that title mean for you?
Well, honestly, I wasn't even really thinking about the internet acronym. I feel like I'm so not hip with internet acronyms anymore. Like my younger sister, I had to like ask numerous times, like, what does this mean? Like this acronym mean? Like, or I Google it. It just kind of, the song really was what brought it about. Like, and it was the title track of the record. I wasn't even really planning to record that song. I had kind of forgotten about it. I record a lot of my demos on my phone, on my voice memo app on my iPhone. But the day before we started recording the record, I was just going through old voice memos and like found that song. And it was just a really sleepy recording. I could tell that I was like really singing that song to myself and was like, huh, maybe this is a song like for the record. And I brought it in the first day with Philip, who co-produced the record with me. And I played it for on guitar and sang it. He was like, yeah, we're definitely starting with this song. And it just kind of like came together so easily and kind of presented itself. I had like another name for the album in mind, but as soon as we finished recording that song, I was like, this is the name of the record.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just joining us, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with singer-songwriter Sarah Beth Tomberlin, known as Tomberlin. Her band is on tour now, and her album out now from Saddle Creek Records is called I Don't Know Who Needs to Hear This. She's based in Brooklyn now, but spent a good part of her childhood and teen years in rural Illinois. I understand you were writing the songs on this album during the pandemic. How did, you know, the things you did to stay sane, where you were living, what you were feeling during the pandemic, how is that reflected in this album?
Yeah, there's a couple songs that I guess I wrote before the pandemic, but primarily the majority of the record was written during. And yeah, I think I, like we had spoken about a minute ago, I started touring in 2018. Hadn't really toured before, and then that just became my life. And I was on the road pretty much 11 months out of the year in 2019. So a lot of stuff had changed for me. I was living in Louisville, Kentucky, and then I moved to LA and go live 2019, the 1 month I wasn't really on the road. And I was still barely there, and the pandemic happened. I had had a little bit of a break off the road and was supposed to get back on the road in March 2020. So it was honestly a good forced pause for me because I was able to really process as much as possible, like the changes that had happened in my life and really kind of, take a moment to figure out how I was feeling and like what felt good for me and not just like, this is the path that you're on and, keep moving. I think it's really important to have time to ourselves to reflect on where we've come from and what we're doing now and what we want to do and how we're treating people and like how we're engaging just with the world. So I think that's super reflected in the music. Never makes me want to laugh or sing. Do you think about the trees and the breeze? How they swing and scream and talk and breathe? I wish I was so tall and green. Swing my branches, only sing for me. And it's about those all kinds of different relationships, right? And the songs aren't religious, but there are these like religious metaphors, right? Forgiveness, hope, trusting the invisible. Talk about that aspect of the songs and writing. I grew up in a mindset and raised Southern Baptist. My dad's a minister. That was just my entire life in my community. I was also homeschooled. So my worldview was really like brought up in that. I'm not a practicing Christian, but I do still think that that will always be something that's on my mind. The imagery, the language is something that will always be kind of rolling around up in my brain. So I feel like the poetic nature of the Bible is really beautiful and wild. It's like a crazy, crazy book. So I think just like growing up with that being like the main source of like, this is why we exist and this is why we're in the world, is always going to like influence me in a way. So I think I do like to play around with like that kind of language. I feel like a lot of people do that. I mean, Mary Auld is like one of my favorite poets.
It's such a part of the culture. It's such a part of the culture. Yeah. I want to ask about another one of the tracks. Happy Accident has a different feel to it. Maybe a upbeat, bittersweet at the same time.
Always measure my time by the way you spend mine. I want to burn it all down. Could I borrow the light?
What inspired that song?
Yeah. I think I was reflecting on patterns and relationships, but specifically one relationship I was kind of dwelling on, and it was kind of the thing of like, is this a relationship? And just being really frustrated, feeling like I was kind of being played with, kind of like mock Jerry style, just kind of confused almost for this other person's like delight. And so there was this kind of bubbling frustration, but also admittance of like being like enamored with that person.
So almost done by you.
Yeah, reflecting on like those moving parts and how we engage, even as we're making these tiny realizations. It's hard to have an aerial view when you're in something. But I think that song is kind of just a bubbling of like trying to sort the feeling. But the thing is, those kind of feelings are so complex and complicated. There's no like beginning, middle, and end. It's just kind of this like blur of information. So I think the song, I wrote it on acoustic guitar, and it's that I kind of wanted it to be a heavy hitter, like that I wanted it to be kind of a sludgy, grungy track. So I think we accomplished that.
Last thing I want to ask you about is Cass McCombs, who's a singer-songwriter and guitarist known for psychedelic country tunes and actually played on the track. How did that come together for that?
Yeah. Oh, well, Cass and I are good friends.
And I guess that's that. Almost shorter than a dream.
We met 2019, early 2019, when I was on tour, and kind of hit it off. And when I moved to LA, just became better buddies and to go on hikes and talk. Yeah, I just really have like an intimate spirit that goes past. And for a while, he was interested in producing the record, and that was the initial plan. But then as time passed, the pandemic happened, like he was also working on his record. He kind of was like, I think I bit off more than I could chew. And he was actually recording his new record, Outfigurate, as well, like planning to. And it ended up that we were recording at the same time. He just happened to LA to record. And so he was like, I still really want to be a part of the record in some way, if you'll have me. And I was like, absolutely, definitely had the tracks in mind. He plays on Stoned as well. And yeah, it was just like an absolute delight to play music with him. He's like a good friend. A legend to me, someone that I've looked up to in the songwriting way for years and years. So it's like a delight that, you know, he's not only playing on the record, but it's just like a good friend of mine. So yeah, just a joy to make that song come to life with him, for sure.
Well, Sarah Beth, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story and your music with us today on the 21st Show.
Thanks so much, Brad. I really appreciate it.
Good luck with the rest of your tour.
Thank you so much.
And that's all the time we have for our show today. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We're going to leave you with more of Tomberlin and Happy Accident. Thanks for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow.